For me, that struck such a chord because I've got such a long history in Denver, and coming from an African-American family who has scratched and clawed and fought just to hold space in this neighborhood for over 100 years, to have all of that hard work and sacrifice mocked by Ink Coffee and Cultivator Advertising was really hard. My great-grandfather started a business in Five Points on Welton Street at 2636 Welton in 1901. And it was called the Colored American Loan and Realty Company. And the whole purpose of that was to help Black folks acquire and maintain properties. In essence, over 100 years ago, my great-grandfather was trying to help us prevent what's happening now. My grandfather bought a house in 1937, just up the street from Manual High School that I currently live in. And so I come from a family that has really been struggling to maintain that space and maintain a foothold in the community and fight against a lot of structural racism and redlining and so forth. And so personally, that's why I took that sign the way that I did. It immediately triggered me.
What exactly has been happening in Five Points in terms of property prices, in terms of the families who now live there or who maybe can't afford to live there anymore?
With the influx of folks coming to Denver and near Northeast Denver sort of being the last pocket of development, the property prices have skyrocketed and taxes have increased. Our city leaders increased our stormwater fees to pay for the city park, at the Park Hill project, and I've seen a lot of our elders priced out of their homes. I've seen a lot of people who are renters not be able to stay in their homes, and so it's just been pretty dramatic. And allowing people to stay in a place who have been in the community for a long time is one thing, but feeling comfortable in the community when they do stay is a whole nother issue, and that's where what Ink Coffee and Cultivator Advertising did and how I feel in the community that I've been a part of for so long. I've been able to stay, but I don't feel comfortable and at home. And so I think we're losing what makes Denver and has made Denver so great. And that was a very multicultural, diverse in all forms of the word community. We're becoming very homogeneous, and it's becoming a playground for the affluent white people, quite honestly.
In terms of some of the broader dynamics that are maybe either facilitating these changes in Denver or even encouraging it, in terms of city leaders and policies that have been made, we've seen City Councilperson Albus Brooks and Denver Mayor Michael Hancock joining in with the protests of Ink Coffee. But now there's a lot of criticism of those very same city leaders about the roles that maybe they've played. Talk a little bit about what's been happening in that regard.
I don't think that Councilman Brooks and Mayor Hancock have done much of anything at all to impede gentrification. And in fact, they've exacerbated it. I feel like the way to measure the health of a community or city is to look at how we treat our most vulnerable, our homeless, our children, our mentally ill, our seniors, the incarcerated. And Mayor Hancock and Councilman Brooks have implemented policies like the camping ordinance, that have made the struggle of the people who are already vulnerable even harder. And they've also directed lots of public funds towards vanity and legacy projects. Just recently, there's a $14 million DIA sign that was installed. We give $15 million a year for affordable housing. $300 million was raised through the largest stormwater fee increase in Denver history as a part of the Platte to Park Hill Stormwater Project, which is directly related to the I-70 expansion. For me, I really started to raise an eyebrow back in 2015 when we had seven new city council members elected, and before they could get sworn in, the Hancock administration rushed a bunch of huge projects through that lame duck city council, including the National Western Complex, the Airport Development Accord. There was a deal with CDOT and I-70, and so as you see people priced out of homes and our most vulnerable suffer, you see our city leaders who are in cahoots with developers. Most of their campaign finance money comes from developer and real estate and bankers. While people are struggling, they're coming up with ways to raise billions and billions of dollars that's not helping people that, that need it most.
I know Globeville, Illyria, Swansea and some folks there are looking at a community trust or some type of land trust model. Is something similar being discussed maybe in Five Points or some of these other neighbourhoods that are really being impacted by gentrification, or are any solutions being put forward by community members?
Well, the community is currently in the process of forming a coalition specifically to help curb and impede gentrification. And that collection of people is thinking of a multi-pronged approach, and we fully support that group in Globeville, Illyria, Swansea that are trying to get that land trust going against the wishes of the city. The city actually has not, our city administration has not made that easy for them. So the land trust piece is one piece. We're also forming a progressive slate of candidates to run for public office. We're fatigued of not being served by elected officials that govern for the common good. And so that's really exciting. We're also working on ballot initiatives. And this is all connected. There's a ballot initiative about electing the sheriff. There'll be a ballot initiative in November of 2018 called Democracy for the People, which will radically change how campaign finance is handled in the city. So I'm really excited about the people in the community that are coming together to form this coalition to, at its core, impede and curb gentrification. But we've got to look at a multi-pronged approach and able to do that, and a long-term approach. And I think we're really thinking along those lines, and we'll have significant progress made.
And in terms of Inc Coffee, I know there was a big protest there on Saturday, and in fact, people have been there every morning this week. Are further actions planned for that location?
Yes, we would like to see that location no longer be Inc Coffee, and our community activists will keep the pressure on. One thing that's made things difficult is the owner of Inc Coffee has refused to sit down in person with any of us. We are upset. We do want change, but we know that that's not going to start without in-person dialogue and truths being told about how that happened, and atonement and reconciliation. But the people who are taking action at Inc, that will continue, ideally until that is not an Inc Coffee there anymore. They're not welcome there.
Well, Tony Pigford, thank you very much for taking time to talk to us this morning.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. You have a wonderful day, and I appreciate the work that your station does. Thank you.